Welcome back. For a decade now, my friend, even though I haven't seen her in the decade, Allison True, the former editor of The Reader, has been on the case. John Wayne Gacy. It's a remarkable story. And Allison, I said, oh, I may not watch it. I may watch it. I may not. I did watch the six-part series that begins streaming on Thursday. I found you very compelling. I found a lot of stuff that was incredibly compelling and alarming. What got you hooked?
Well, I'm glad you clarified that you were going to watch it. You just weren't sure if you were going to watch it in advance of this discussion.
Yeah. I'm not going to use much of it. I want to hear from you.
No, that's good. I hope people will watch it. What interested me about this story was not John Wayne Gacy, by a long shot.
Yep.
I don't find him interesting. I don't find murderers particularly interesting. I became interested in what was going on in this case when I met a retired Chicago police detective who had once before persuaded the Chicago Police Department to investigate a property where Gacy had been the handyman. He had a maintenance contract as part of his remodeling business.
Yeah.
And so this detective, whose name is William Dorsch, had already informed the police that he believed, and other witnesses around this property believed, that when they saw Gacy arrested in 78, they all had this like horrible moment of realization.
Yeah, we saw that guy thought, 3 weeks ago. Yeah.
Oh no, we've seen him doing some strange stuff in that yard, and I think you ought to check it out.
Yep. The yard of a building at Miami and Elston on the far northwest side.
So it's at 6114 West Miami Avenue, right on the corner of Elston. And Dorsch and these other neighbors had all called in their tips to the police when Gacy was arrested. But as far as they knew, it had never been investigated, and nobody really gave it a thought because you know, there were hundreds of tips coming into the police, and they'd follow up on whatever they needed to. But then, 20 years later, Dorsch was yakking with some fellow investigators, and they asked him, are there any stories or any cases that are really haunting you? And he said, well, you know, I have this feeling about this property. And as far as I know, the police never investigated.
Yeah.
And this led to a crazy cascade of events to the police agreeing with Dorsch that this property did deserve investigation. And
but as it shows, in the I don't remember part.
Well, you can tell from their search warrant application and from what happened during that time that they also were convinced there might be additional victims there, and in the end they ended up sort of squelching the investigation and not digging.
So
that was really weird and mysterious, and I heard about this myself 10 years later.
Yes.
and Dorsch had this idea that maybe there was some kind of cover-up going on, and you know, I had a lot of experience as the editor of The Reader.
Yep.
People have grudges and people are crackpots, and you have to weigh everything very carefully. But I ended up believing that Dorsch had a pretty good argument for investigating this spot. And I brought in a friend of mine who, she's a friend now. I didn't know her that well then. I was trying to get local media to cover this. I had left The Reader recently, and I didn't really have a platform, and I didn't even see myself as a writer. I just wanted to share the story as one does and one is an editor.
Right.
And so I
you started that.
I wanted to talk to Dorsch myself. And I took this person I knew who was a TV producer, Tracy Ullman, who was a freelancer around town in TV production. And I thought maybe she'll be able to do something with this. And that was 10 years ago. And we ended up teaming up with Dorsch and meeting other people who had suspicions about the Gacy case.
Sure, sure.
I'm leapfrogging over the fact that once we all started trying to figure out what had happened at this aborted investigation, we discovered lots of other things about the case that didn't really...
Add up. I mean, Gacy, at one point in the program, I can't tell you which episode it is, but he is asked, he's riding in a car, and he's asked, Gacy, that is, how many really did you kill? And Gacy says hauntingly, 45 sounds like a good number.
Yeah.
We have to take a little, we'll take a break and come back with Allison True in just a second. I am so hooked on this story. I was out there for a couple of days as a young reporter while they were pulling bodies out of that house, and stayed with me forever. We'll be back in 2 minutes. Welcome back. I'm talking with Allison True, who is a contributor to this fascinating and, to my mind, also chilling and perhaps for many thought-provoking 6-part series, documentary series on the Peacock Network, PeacockTV.com, John Wayne Gacy, Devil in Disguise. You know, I too, Allison, you know, to my mind, without some of the revelations in your program, I would be happy never to hear of John Wayne Gacy again. Do you know what I mean? I'm afraid.
Yeah.
I don't know if you are. I am afraid that a number of people are going to be drawn to this in the same way they were to Brian Dennehy playing, you know, Killer Clown, and what, and it's going to diminish what you are searching for. But also, I think it has the ability to bring out more. You have a website, the JohnWayneGacyNews.com. You're in the process of writing a book. You know, I get... I don't want to second guess your motives in this whole thing, but I think one of them is to the family members who are in the documentary are just so sad, and you wonder how many of them are out there just not knowing what happened to.
Well, as that's true, Rick, and that is exactly why I've been working on this project for so long, because I feel like that the families and the victims have all gotten lost in the noise around the killer clown and
the clown man.
It's obviously easy to sensationalize his crimes, and I understand why media think of it as sort of fun and juicy. The truth is that he had dozens of victims, and they had dozens of family members each, and what has been lost over the last 40 years is that they were people who were desperately missed by their families when they disappeared.
Yeah.
And the story we were all fed and the story that local authorities gave to the media and the media reported was that these were wayward teens who nobody noticed missing, and even implying to some degree that they got what they deserved.
Gacy
himself was one of the perpetrators of that horrific idea. And the truth is so different. I mean, some of the victims there were several victims who were actually employees of Gacy.
Oh, sure. Right.
And their
right.
families told police, our kid went to John Gacy's house to get a paycheck, and he never came home.
Yeah.
And so the big mystery behind all of this is, why did Gacy have so much influence or clout that he was able to deflect questions about missing employees three of them for a year and a half.
Yeah, that was that. I had some vague memory of that, but the film punctuated it for me.
Yeah, and and the police went to Gacy and he somehow put them off. Well, yeah. I mean, how many kids who are working for this guy had to disappear before they noticed something was wrong? Yeah. And the only reason Gacy was actually caught in the end was that, I mean, everybody thinks there's some sort of misunderstandings about him in this case.
No kidding.
Like, he's not from Chicago. This didn't happen in Chicago. The truth is, the vast majority of his victims were reported missing in Chicago.
Yep.
To the Chicago police.
Yeah.
And he was in this kind of funny, his house was in this little funny pocket inside the Chicago boundaries that managed to maintain its independence. It's called Norwood Park Township.
Township,
and
right.
And it's unincorporated Cook County, and that's why the Sheriff's Department has jurisdiction over this entire case.
Yeah.
And so...
The other revelation, Elson, believe me when I tell you I've read a lot about John Wayne Gacy and do not consider him some, you know, Shakespearean clown.
No.
Is that he might have been involved with, and the show makes a pretty good case, that he might have been involved with this ring led by a guy named Norman that was in the business of perhaps making snuff films, but certainly trading in pornography. That was...
And trading in kids.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah,
that was something.
Yeah, he had a business for a long time where he was supplying kidnapped kids to pedophiles who would pay for access to them. And there has been a connection established between Gacy and this guy.
But
that's just one of the
many
tracks we've been following and trying to understand why.
Yeah.
There's so much mystery about this case.
Well, they had
so many things about this case that don't make sense.
And, exactly.
And you know, it's easy to understand why people might roll their eyes if they see Gacy's face or not understand why anyone cares about this ancient history. But the truth is that, you know, the sheriff of Cook County himself reopened this case 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So law enforcement believes it's not too old to care.
Right, right.
He said that there were several unidentified Gacy victims who had never been identified.
Yeah.
He didn't have DNA back then.
Yep.
He announced he was going to welcome those families who believe that Gacy might have kidnapped their kids to submit DNA and... Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Participate in a project to try to find out who they really were.
Right.
So Sheriff Dart doesn't think it's too old to care. And in fact, he announced that he received contact from over 130 different families who are all still wondering, well, you know, they want to know what happened to their missing
their
family member.
To their kids. Allison, does this haunt your dreams and or nightmares?
No comment.
Okay.
Yeah.
I completely understand.
But I just feel terrible for the way I'm getting the feeling that the families who still want answers now,
right,
aren't getting them in the same way they didn't in 1978. I mean, it's just bizarre.
Exactly.
And the missing piece, what I mean by that is that even though Sheriff Dart opened up the case again,
yeah,
we have developed evidence or come across evidence, or it's not just me, I'm sort of the Boswell of this.
Yeah, right, sure.
Of investigators there are a handful of people and we've all kind of shared information and one of the things that has become apparent is that even though officials seem to want to work on this project of identifying those specific unidentified victims, One mother has succeeded. She went to court, and the Cook County judge agreed with her that it was necessary. She succeeded in getting permission to exhume the remains of her, well, supposedly her child, who had been identified in 1970.
Right.
As a victim. And she proved through DNA testing that it wasn't her
son. It wasn't her son.
And for some reason, the sheriff is not interested in adding this new unidentified victim to the record.
Yeah.
He's disparaged this poor woman. He's,
oh, she's so sad, and her little boy is has this angelic face. My God.
Yeah. So they have made it clear that they're interested in tying up loose ends about the case, but only the loose ends that they deem
that benefit them. Yeah.
Well, I don't know how it benefits them not to take.
Well, it benefits them in not having to pursue it, I think. And
but why? I mean, there are so many questions.
Yeah.
About
you're
the
right.
case, and the sheriff is limiting the things he will agree to be curious about,
yeah.
and that's not anything I can shed any light on.
Right.
Really.
Right.
I just know that it's true.
Allison, true, I admire your diligence, I admire your heart, I admire your soul, and
more than I deserve.
No, it's not.
I'm going to do my part with the skills that I got.
Well,
career.
I'll be very curious to see what the response is to the show, and maybe you could come back on. It's a six-part series, Peacock TV. It starts Thursday.
Yeah, Peacock is a streaming channel like Netflix. Prime or something. You just have to download it, and then you can play it.
It will attract a lot of people who are, you know, Gacyites, but I'm hoping it will attract a lot of people. You know, it's bound to.
And there's one more thing I want to mention.
Yes.
Tracy and I sold our story to Peacock to make this series on, and Tracy was one of the executive producers.
Right.
And they hired a director who made this fantastic documentary called Amanda Knox.
Sure.
And he's amazing. And he's appearing on WGN TV on Tuesday, March 29th.
Fantastic.
In the morning.
Fantastic.
And he'll be talking to Larry Potash. And
yeah, Larry's in the series a lot. Jay Levine is in the series a lot.
He was there when it all exploded in 78. Yeah, yep. He's there.
Allison True, I admire you beyond bounds. We will talk.
Likewise, my friend.
We will talk soon. Thank you, sweetie. Thanks.
Looking forward to it.
Okay. Bye.